What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
It's been a long season, 258 days after the opening faceoff. Tonight, the NHL season will come to an end in the 1400th game, and it's either going to be Edmonton coming back from being down 0-3 and winning the Cup and being the second team ever to hoist Lord Stanley after being down 0-3 in the Stanley Cup Final, or it's going to be the Panthers winning their first Cup in the history of the franchise. It's bittersweet today. You want to know why?
Why is that, Ryan?
I want the series to go 14 games. I want to see the first six again. I didn't want to see the first three again. But I want to see the last three and the last six. Let's make it a best of 14. It's been awesome.
It has been awesome. And what started out, as you just mentioned, as essentially a dud through the first week or so. And we thought, okay, this is going to wrap up really quickly. This is why you watch sports, man. I'm super giddy. I can't remember the last time that I so much looked forward to a sporting event where I had no vested interest in the outcome. Like, I'm not a fan of the Oilers. I'm not a fan of the Panthers. I really don't mind. I want a good game. I really don't mind. I like both teams for different reasons, and I'm cheering them on for different reasons, but I have no vested interest. And I cannot remember the last time that I was about to watch something, the do or die, the winner take all, it's all over, right? Where I have been so excited, not actually supporting one of the sides. So really looking forward to it.
Pucks in 7. We forgot to say that. This is Pucks in 7. It is Monday, the day of the... I know. People know what we're talking about. It's the eve of Game 7. Brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca right now and enter the code Pucks in 7 and get 25% off their fantastic products. We will make this quick. All we're going to do is talk about Game 7 tonight and the first six that have already come and gone. We'll get to our predictions at the end. So many numbers going into this one. What was it, 8, 9, 10 days ago? You mentioned it right off the top. It was Florida 3, Edmonton nothing. And it could have been one of the worst Stanley Cup final series in history. I mean, yeah, sweep's fine for the team that sweeps, but when you come this far, you want to see at least 5, at least 6. Let's go 7.
It's boring. It's completely boring. Sweeps are boring.
And the last three, a complete turnaround. We'll dive into what has happened and what's gone right and what's gone wrong and all that type of stuff. Edmonton, if they cap it off tonight, it would be an unbelievable thing, an incredible moment. The fact that they pushed it to 7 games is in and of itself an incredible moment. And how they've done it, Vic, in the last three games is astonishing. They have outplayed, outscored, outworked, outdone everything to the Florida Panthers.
We were talking with our good buddy, Dennis Bernstein, over the weekend when you and I were co-hosting The Hot Stove. Well, I was guest hosting. You are the host of that show. But I had the treat of taking part in it. And he also mentioned that the Oilers have, without question, outcoached the Florida Panthers. And I think we've seen a lot of that as well. And so you're talking about the numbers, 18-5. The Oilers have outscored the Panthers in the last three games, 18-5. So you're sitting here and you're going, well, how can we possibly expect this trend to snap? How do we expect the Panthers to turn this around? Well, if you look historically, because now we're facing the 18th Stanley Cup Final Game 7 in the history of the NHL. There's only been 18, which is not very many, if you ask
me. No, it's not.
It's like you're counting on your hands and your feet, and that's it. So it's been very few in the history of that, the 17 so far, the home team is 12-5.
Yeah, so the fact that's the advantage.
You've got if you look at all the odds makers now, they have these, the two teams on the money line, at least pretty even Stevens. And I think it's because of that. Historically, the home team has been better, not recently historically, but right. historically. And then, of course, we've just witnessed what the Oilers have done in the last three games in essentially dominating a Panthers team we didn't expect them to dominate.
And give Edmonton a ton of credit as well for what they did in the season. First of all, when they were down 0-3 in the Stanley Cup final, they had a 3% chance of coming back and winning the Stanley Cup.
Isn't that madness? That is madness.
Last time I checked, that was not a very good thing.
I
got some bad marks in school, but I never got 3%. And they had they were 31st after the first 12 games of the season. I know 12 games is a relatively early stretch. It's a small chunk. But when you're Edmonton, and when you're not expected to go 2-9-1 out of the gate and second last in the entire league, that's a big deal. They fired Woodcroft, brought in Knobloch. I don't know, and I said this too when you and I and Dennis were on the hot stove in the weekend, I don't know exactly the total number of wins and losses in OT losses or whatever that Edmonton has had since they made that coaching change. But they have been the best team statistically, wins and losses wise, since then. Mm-hmm. And yet, against LA, they were, you know, the Kings didn't really put up much of a fight at all. They had to grind it out against Vancouver. They got Dallas to 6. A lot of people at Dallas give Edmonton credit. But again, we have no idea when you're down 0-3 in a Stanley Cup. Florida's had, they've had how many chances to win one game? They have three chances to win one hockey game.
Three chances.
They had three chances to win the first three games, and they did. And then they had three chances to win one game, and they haven't been able to do that. So again, I know game seven's amazing. The fact that Edmonton has it to this point, I'm blown away. I absolutely did not expect this.
Throw two more factors on top of that. The Florida Panthers are an extremely good hockey team.
Yes.
Arguably the best team in the East. I'm not even going to say arguably. I think they're the best team in the East.
Yes.
And unless we're going to find out some incredibly surprising news down the lineup, they're healthy. We were talking about what happened last year when they faced Vegas, and speaking to the experience that they were going to bring forward in this Stanley Cup final, how it was going to help them, that they were there last year. But last year, they were behind the eight ball in a lot of ways because, I mean, there was broken sternums and snapped foots and broken knees, and they were playing very hobbled. And from what we understand, again, we could be surprised, but from what we understand right now, they're feeling okay, so we have to credit Knobloch with the adjustments he's made. We have to credit the skaters on the ice with the adjustments that they've made in eluding that incredible Panthers forecheck. And we also have to credit Stuart Skinner for being better than good when a lot of people didn't expect him to be better than good at all.
He is one of the best goalies in games 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Which is when you want to be that person.
Exactly, exactly. Look back quickly to, and then we'll get into kind of what Edmonton needs to do, what the Panthers need to do, all that stuff. But look back to the first three games of the series. And this is what we've all talked about at nauseam, especially after game one. Edmonton should have won game one, but Bobrovsky was the difference, hands down. So essentially, if you look at all the series and how it's played out, only thing you would change was game one. Edmonton would have already been the Stanley Cup champs. They wouldn't have won it in 6. Game two, it was Florida. They had a spurt, a stretch, and they were really good.
That was the best game. Right. I don't think there's any question of that.
Right.
Okay.
And then the Panthers took game 3-1. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like a little bit of a different thing. Not a shift in that game, but Edmonton had the last couple of goals. And then all of a sudden it was the 8-1 whitewash, which nobody expected that. No one expects an 8-1 game in the Stanley Cup final. And then to your point, this team's had 18 goals scored in the last three games. So to your credit and your point, give Knobloch a ton of credit. I'm thinking maybe the this year's Oilers in this cup final are kind of like last year's Panthers all the way through and in toward the end of the cup final. Meaning Edmonton's hurting. Something's wrong with Draisaitl. Has to be. McDavid is not 100% yet. He is guys Conn Smythe, hands down, no questions asked. Lose 10-0 tonight. Well, sometimes get 10 goals. 10-0 tonight, he's...
Connor McDavid could finish a -9 in a 10-1 game tonight. He's still walking away with the Conn Smythe. There's no question. You should see the odds, Ryan. They're hilarious.
Oh, it's crazy. It's just a different thing. It's what Florida did last year. It seems Edmonton is doing it this time.
All right. What do we expect? Okay. Not what are we expecting. We're going to get to that at the very end.
Yeah.
What do who? Okay. Double fold. who are you looking at on the Panthers? What do the Panthers need to do to win? And which players in particular are you looking at?
On the Panthers side of things, first one has to be and will be Sergei Bobrovsky.
No question.
Because the last three games, he wants to erase them all from the memory and go back to the first three and even go back to the first three rounds that he's been incredible. So he's the one key for me when it comes to the Florida Panthers. The other one is Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay.
Could be an easy pick and, you know, heart and soul of the team, but Barkov is such a huge key to that team. Ekblad's a huge key to the team on the back end. But if you just look at what he's done in this series, and he has one goal against Edmonton in the series, and he has only 3 points. I know Tkachuk leads in different ways. I understand that. He's physical, gets under the skin. But I really do feel he was a -3 last game. He was a -3 in game number, 4. I mean, everybody was a minus number. It was 8-1 Edmonton. This is the game for me that he needs to take the team on his back, and he needs to put up a massive amount of points. So those two, Tkachuk, Bobrovsky.
Of course, you're not wrong. I think Bobrovsky is a key one here in terms of setting the tone from the beginning, not only in terms of how he plays as an individual netminder, but how his teammates play in front of him.
Yeah.
He has conceded the first goal in the last three games, and they've lost all three of them.
Yeah.
When the Panthers have scored first in two of the games, they've won. Okay, so when they've scored first, they've won. They also managed to win one coming from behind, but it doesn't matter. The trend is the trend. So yeah. If he makes some big saves early and the Panthers get on the board first and Bobrovsky is standing strong back there, I like the Panthers' chances a lot more. Tkachuk is a game changer, man. When that guy's at his best and everything he does, he's an absolute game changer. The third one that I am looking at, too, is Carter Verhaeghe. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who we called Mr. Clutch playoff performer for good reason up until this series.
Yeah.
He scored in the opener. He scored the very first goal of this series, and he has done absolute squat since. In the last three games, Ryan, he is a total minus 11.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Carter Verhaeghe is minus 11. Never mind, no scoring. Whatever. Yeah. You can't be minus 11 through three games. He's still playing on a top line. He's still playing with Alexander Barkov. He's still in a position. He's logging 20 minutes a game. He plays on the power play. He needs to be the clutch guy that they have looked at since he's basically entered the league as a playoff performer. And I like his chances of doing something tonight, or at least he's really going to try.
If you are the Panthers and relying on Evan Rodriguez to carry the team tonight, then you're in trouble.
No.
You're in trouble.
You can't expect Mikola to score either.
You can't
look to these guys. No, it's great if that happens, but this is when Sam Reinhart needs to come to play.
Yep.
Barkov's been great, actually. He just needs to continue doing what he's doing. But Verhaeghe and Reinhart, Tkachuk to a degree, you want your big dog, Sam Bennett to a degree as well. You want your big pups to come to play in this game. You don't want to look to the supporting cast members for sure. You want to flip it to the Oilers then?
Yeah. On the Edmonton side things, let me throw it to you. So we'll get to kind of what both teams need to do to win, but we'll continue on the players that we're watching for. So we were looking at Tkachuk, looking at Verhaeghe, and looking at Bobrovsky on the Florida side of things. Edmonton, who are the key players you're going to be watching for tonight?
I'm not going to mention Connor McDavid here because I think
I was going to get to that.
Okay.
Put him aside. Yeah.
Like he's like we've said before, he's built in a laboratory. He's different. He just does things differently. Okay. So that's the general assumption is he's going to be a key factor. Okay.
Yeah. So
everybody
of McDavid.
I have Leon Draisaitl. If you want to talk about an uncharacteristic dry spell, he hasn't scored since game 6 against Dallas, I believe, which was in May.
Yeah.
It is June 24th. Yeah. This is a prolific goal scorer. This is a prolific playoff performer. Leon, and you know what's really bothering him? It is bothering him. Even if they hoist the cup, it's not going to feel quite the same way. Yes, he's going to be super happy. It's not going to feel quite the same way than if he did score and contribute in game 7 to help the cause. He rifled that beautiful saucer pass to Warren Fogel in the last game. It was just a thing of beauty. I know he wants to put it in the back of the net himself. He's had opportunities.
Yeah.
He's had quality scoring chances. And I am looking to him tonight. You brought up, we're not looking at the Evan Rodriguez's of this series.
Yep.
And the same thing goes That third line with Edmonton has been fantastic, but I'm not expecting Connor Brown to be the guy tonight. Maybe he is. I'm looking to the stars, the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and the Leon Draisaitls outside of McDavid, of course.
Yeah. I can't argue with that. The one who I'm number one, Stuart Skinner, needs to just continue to do what he's done the last
few years.
Of course, you know, the old adage, goaltending wins you games. You got to have a good goal. Yes. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to throw that out the door because both goalies have to be good. I'm going to put my eyes a lot on Zach Hyman. Not that he hasn't done anything. He's been great. But I was reading this article about him, and everyone is happy to be in this position. Zach Hyman is – I love the guy. Just what he brings to the game, how he is off the ice, just everything about him. And this is the type of game for me that he will shine in. If Edmonton is going to win this thing, he is going to be front and center. I guarantee he's going to be banging bodies in front. If he gets two goals off his skate and one off his ankle, well, then fine. He, to me, is going to be the key for Edmonton tonight, outside of the Skinners and the and Draisaitls, as you said. Because Hyman's been phenomenal. He's been – outside of McDavid, this guy's been he's leading the league in goal score right now in the playoffs.
I like the fact that we're both going. It's time for the stars to shine, and you and I are on.
Well, it is. It's game set. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Page again. We really appreciate the contributions from those skating in the bottom six, skating on the bottom pair. You know what name we haven't talked about since earlier series in this playoff run is Evan Bouchard. Yeah. And I do wonder if we can maybe expect a little extra. Actually, if you look at his numbers, they're better than his teammates throughout the series. Yeah. He has actually contributed. But at the same time, he hasn't performed. Pardon me, Ryan. He hasn't sparkled quite as brightly as he did earlier in the season when we were talking about him as an emerging star, as an emerging performer. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table. As well, again, I'm so excited.
So you've opened the door then by saying, you know, Bouchard hasn't been doing as much, so now he's going to have the game of his life tonight. You watch. He will.
See, I had Leon Draisaitl first, but I'm also looking, hey, those guys are on the ice together a lot, so it might be some sort of combo effort, especially if this becomes a special teams affair.
Okay, so let's dive into, instead of what Edmonton needs to do, because what they've been doing in the last three games has been great, so don't change a thing. We'll dive into that in a second, but what do the Panthers need to do in this Game 7 tonight? Because the pressure since Game 3 ended has been solely on the Florida Panthers. Edmonton has no pressure. I know there's pressure of a Game 7, but you know what I'm saying. What do the Panthers have to do here to get this win? Because it seems like they just can't buy one in the last week and change, which they can't.
Rediscover how to make their forecheck effective. So they have to figure that out. At the same time, stifle Connor McDavid as much as possible, and you can't lose the giveaway takeaway game as much as they have, particularly in game six. Ryan, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're outrageous. It's almost like 4-1 in terms of winning the takeaway giveaway battle. They have to be stronger on the puck like they have been. They can't commit those errors. They also can't commit untimely penalties. Now, you don't want to commit penalties at all. But make sure they're not momentum killers. Make sure they're not stupid. So if you're going to take a penalty, it's got to be a really good one. And none of this nonsense after the whistle crap or in the offensive zone. It has to be something that is saving a goal, absolutely necessary. So you got to play disciplined. Don't lose the giveaway takeaway game. And again, figure out how to reinstitute the most effective forecheck in the NHL.
So I got the giveaway takeaway numbers in front of me.
Go ahead.
So from game six. So the Panthers gave the puck away 11 times. They took the puck away 5 times. Edmonton gave the puck away 13 times, but they took it away 18 times.
Right.
18-5. That is a huge, huge thing. And to your point about the Panthers, because we said this, that Edmonton hadn't seen a team like the Panthers against the Kings, against Vancouver, and against Dallas. One of the Panthers' big strengths is they're bullying you. They'll hit you. They'll come after you. They won't step down from you. They out-hit Edmonton 44-21 in game six. That's a big margin. I'm not saying all these hits are crazy ones and they make such an impact. But when you would hit a team 44-21, I would have thought the game would have been a bit closer. They would have been intimidated. But whatever Edmonton's doing, they're taking it. Here's what the Panthers have to do. They have to get that first goal.
Yes.
That is the biggest thing. And I'm not going to say anything else about it.
They
have to
do.
Get that first goal. If they do not get the first goal, they're not winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, I'm not going to be quite as deterministic as that, but I think it's going to be very helpful if they do score first, for sure.
So we both have the Panthers winning in six. That
we did,
obviously
yes.
is not happening. Game seven, here we go. No team's come back since 1942. Toronto from me down 0-3 in the Stanley Cup final. I'm going to throw to you Victoria Matadash.
Who do you have?
And then we'll talk, well, not Tom, Conn Smythe. It's going to be McDavid. But who's winning the cup tonight?
I have finally, and I've been Panthers, essentially all the way through, except game four. I thought Edmonton was going to give it a go. I wasn't expecting a one, but anyway. Besides that, I'm done. I'm on the ride now, man. I totally
am. Really?
I have the Oilers 4-2. I'm watching them. It's so much easier to keep on winning than it is to start winning.
That's all
I'm saying. And just, I know momentum can flip on a dime. We've all seen it. We've seen it in different sports. But the way that they have solved Florida right now, I have no vested interest. I'd love to see the Panthers win as well. It doesn't matter. But I have officially, it's actually on the ESPN.com page as well. I have the Oilers 4-2. I'm convinced. Got me convinced now.
It's hard to not get on that train. It is. Because I've been really adamant about staying with preseason predictions and all that stuff. I had Edmonton making the final. I didn't have Edmonton winning. I had a team from the East who obviously is not in this position because I'd be bragging about it right now. So I'm going to stick with the team from the East winning the cup. And the reason is going to be this. In games 4, 5, and 6, and we talked about this again when we did the show this past weekend, it's harder to play not to lose than it is to play to win. And I think the Panthers have been playing not to lose for 3 straight games. Tonight, they don't have any pressure on them anymore because it's game 7. It is what it is. It's pressure to win, fine. But I think there's going to be a different, more relaxed, smoother team. And I'm not a huge fan of home ice advantage. You know that. I don't think that it means as much. But what do you say? 12-5? 12-5 home teams have won out of 17. So 12 out of 7. I mean, that's a big thing, right?
That's significant, yes.
Yeah. I know Edmonton is nuts. I mean, for game 6, they're driving Zambonis down the road and all these crazy people. I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think we're going to see a different team. We're going to see a team that we saw in even game 1, but maybe in game 2, I think we're going to see that. So I'll take Florida. You take Edmonton. I will say this, one of the teams to win the cup. There
Give
you
me
go.
A score. I want a score. I said 4-2 Oilers. What do you have?
I'm going to say 4-2. 4-2
okay.
for
All right. Four. So we're both predicting a 4-2. So kids, play the over.
And I don't know if I heard you, but are we doing an empty net goal with a 4-2?
I don't have an empty net goal.
Okay. You know what? I'll throw an empty net in for the heck of it. Why not? McDavid, quick thoughts, ridiculous. Just what he's doing is there's just no.
It's an unnecessary conversation.
Let's move on.
I'm mostly curious to see because he is going to win the Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
I'm mostly
if
curious
they lose,
to see
what he's going
to
do.
Yeah. How that's going to unfold because you know he is going to be miserable. He's not going to want to receive that trophy. It's something he'll probably appreciate down the line. But in the moment, especially Ryan, if they lose in overtime or in the last few seconds of the third period and they're just all deflated and bawling because they're going to be. They're going to be absolutely sucked dry. And they're going to be like, here you go, Connor. Here's your individual trophy. That means absolutely nothing because the team didn't win the Stanley Cup. That's going to be dramatic in and of its own right. Is he going to go and take it? I don't think he does. I think he's out of here and they figure it out later or whatever. But that to me would be the interesting. But of course, the Panthers have to win for that to happen because if he wins the Stanley Cup, he'll be all over with that Conn Smythe as well.
It was first awarded the Conn Smythe in 1965, and 5 players on losing teams have won it. Roger Crozier in 1966, Glenn Hall 68, Reggie Leach in 76, Ron Hextall, 87 Flyers. He was awesome in 87. And Jean-Sébastien Giguère, 21 years ago for the Anaheim then Mighty Ducks.
I remember that clearly.
I remember
that very, very. But, the earlier ones less so, but I remember that. I remember the present. I remember all of that, how that unfolded very vividly. He deserved it as well.
He did. 8 Eastern time tonight, and I think, by the way, as well, we haven't had a playoff game in a game seven and a cup final in about 70 years. So I think we're due. Imagine that. Wouldn't that just cap everything off very wonderfully? I think
it would. Say that one more time. A game seven in a...
In a cup final, haven't had overtime in 70 years.
Yes. I really, really want it. I'll stay up. I will stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning. If this goes to extras, it'll be fantastic.
I'm going to get Vic some cotton swabs to get the wax out of her ears so she can hear me properly next time.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Enjoy, folks. It's going to be great. And what a way to cap off a season. Game 1400 will decide who wins the Stanley Cup, Florida or Edmonton. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up. We'll do one tomorrow, which will be Tuesday, the 25th. And we'll get our thoughts, or you will hear our thoughts on the season that was, because it's going to end at some point tonight. Pucks and Seven brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca. Enter the code PUCKS and 7 and get 25% off their fantastic products. Enjoy Game 7 tonight. We'll talk to you.
PUCKS and 7 brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.